Amen. In other words, we got to learn how to act around people. We got to learn how to act when it comes to coming into the presence of the Lord. Amen. We got to learn how to act. And so when we learn how to act, when we learn how to put on, we learn how to do what Jesus did. In other words, I practice doing this so that I can become better at it. I practice being a Christian. I practice loving. I practice forgiving. You know why you keep having people being offending you? You keep having people come against you and you got to keep on forgiving them? It's because you ain't there yet. God just keeps sending that stuff your way so that you can keep forgiving, so that you can practice. If you didn't have somebody lie on you, Lord have mercy. I'm just going to talk to y'all, because if you didn't have somebody lie on you, you never would know how to forgive. If they didn't come back and do it again, you wouldn't know how to do what Jesus said when he said do it 7 times in a day. When they come to you over and over and they do stuff and you say, this is the last time, God said, no, it ain't. You just don't know. When you wake up in the morning, I got somebody else that's going to come to your life and you ain't going to like what they're going to do or say, but you're going to have to forgive them if you want to be like me. So what God is doing, he's bringing the pain, because without pain, there's no gain. He's bringing that stuff in our life so that we can be more like him. There is some necessary stuff that we must deal with that we may not like, but it makes us a better Christian, because we learn now how to have joy in the midst of sorrow, how to have peace in the midst of the storm. He teaches us through much tribulation, we come into the kingdom. In other words, we become the subjects of the kingdom, because now we know how to pledge our allegiance to the king and live like kingdom people are supposed to, rather than doing what we want to do. Amen. I know y'all don't like that. Amen. But that's all right. I don't like it either, but that's what it is. Tribulation, the Bible says, works patience. And I told somebody the other day, he was talking about, I need some patience. I just pray that.
We know your hearts have burned within by the message of Living Word Ministries. Living Word Ministries of Natchitoches, Louisiana. Pastor Altoria Holden Sr. Our church is located 1401 Welch Street, Natchitoches, Louisiana. Our mailing address is Post Office Box 968, Campy, Louisiana, 71411. Again, Post Office Box 968, Campy, Louisiana, 71411. Our service times are 9:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship and Bible study on Thursday nights at 7:30 p.m. We would love to see you and hear from you. Our doors are open. Living Word Ministries radio broadcast can be heard every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 11:30 a.m. until 12 noon. Continuous blessings. Pastor Altoria Holden Sr. and Living Word Ministries, thank you for your support.
This is KAYT, Gina, Alexandria. This is Gospel Radio at its very best. 88.1 KAYT, praising the Lord.
Circling the globe with the glory of the gospel, this is the Movement of Christ broadcast, featuring the teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II. Preaching the uncompromised word of God, Dr. Montgomery is pastor of the Greater King David Baptist Church, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and ministers to the needs of all people through the love of God. Join us now for an anointed message from God's word for your life today.
Turn to Philippians chapter 3. And I want to look at verse 14. Philippians chapter 3, verse 14. And recorded are these words. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his word. You may be seated in his presence. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. For just a little while, I want to speak from this subject. I'm not there yet, but I'm on my way. If you don't mind helping me preach this morning, turn next to your neighbor and say, neighbor, I'm not there yet, but I'm on my way. Now, if this is true of your journey, come on, give God some praise. If it's not, don't. Paul says in the 13th verse, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. I press. And my brothers and sisters, I need you to know that in this journey, you're going to have to be personally responsible for you doing the best you can do on this journey and in this race. Paul sets up in the first 12 verses of this chapter his desire, and he tells us about his achievements and accomplishments and how, for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ, he has in essence sold out and counted all of those gains as dung, as in refuse, as in excrement, as something not even worth having, excrement, as something that's done away with and passed and has benefited and is no longer any good. He makes clear that his desire for the knowledge of Jesus Christ is his first and his most desired pursuit in life. He wants to know what it's like to be a part of the sufferings and to fellowship with Jesus in the knowledge of those sufferings. He wants to know what it's like to have the power of the resurrection be a part not only of his life, but of his future. He makes clear that his pursuits are about those things connected with Jesus Christ and those things that will benefit him in the race here on planet Earth, and for those things that he shall enjoy in Jesus in life to come. He makes sure that he makes clear to us he has severed his affection from all of the past accomplishments and past achievements and the things that most men would glory in and brag on. But he wants us to know that his desire is to know Jesus so intimately, so personally, that you don't know where the one begins and the other ends. He wants to know Jesus in such a way that most folk would never ever desire to know him. He doesn't want to know Jesus in his majesty and in his glory and in his pomp and circumstance like most of us would. He wants to know Jesus in the fellowship of his suffering, at his lowest ebb, going through the things. What were his thoughts? What were his feelings? How did he handle them? How did he deal with them? He wanted to know Jesus in a way that not many of us want to know him. Because here is his point. If I've got to live for Jesus, and he says they're going to do to you what they've done to me, it would be helpful to me to know what they did to him and how he handled it. It would be helpful for me to understand the power, listen, that raised him up from the dead when he gave his life up, knowing that he would soon be resurrected from the dead. He said, I want to know this power. I want to have such an intimate knowledge that I no longer fear death and what death can do to me, because I'm living with the life, and that life is on the inside of me. Not many of us want to live with Jesus like that. We don't want to know about no suffering because we really don't want to suffer. We want a prize, but we don't want to run. We want a reward, but we don't want work. We want heaven, but we don't want to die. You ain't got to say, man, I know I'm all kind of right today. But not so with Paul. Paul said, I've been pursuing this with everything in me, but I've not yet laid hold of it. He said, but I'm striving every day. I'm stretching and straining and stressing and struggling. And every time I get a chance to reach a little bit further, I'm reaching for something that's beyond my grip. But look at what he says. I press. And I like this because he wasn't the only one in the race, but he was the only one who could speak for him. Y'all catch that on your way home. You may not be the only one in the race, but you're the only one who can speak for you. I press. I strain. I struggle. I give everything I have, reaching as far as I can. Listen, not for what's behind me, but for what's before. Listen, here's what he says. And I want us to see this because I need you to see there are three things in this verse I want to share with you. The first is the force that Paul presses with. He's not talking about some take it easy, lackadaisical kind of reach. He's talking about with every muscle and every fiber and every strength that can be mustered up in his body, it is in the forward reach. His stressing and pressing has him leaning forward because he's trying to get as close as he can in every maneuver and physical expression that he can to win the race. And I think it would be helpful for those of you who don't know that this word is put in the light of an Olympian's race. It is the preparation and the training that goes forth in getting ready for the Olympics. And Paul is using this terminology because he wants us to see some things that's necessary if you're going to win the race. Now, there are two marks in a race. There is the starting line, which is the first mark, and then there is the finish line, which is the second mark. Notice Paul says, I press toward the mark. It is suggested at this point that his pressing is not at the start line. He's already started, but he's nearer to the finish line. And he's trying to keep, second point, his focus with all of his force, with all of his energy, with all of his efforts. He uses everything that he can to cause the forward force and momentum to help him with every stride. And so the second thing that he makes clear is, with all of this force, I've got to keep my focus. Got to keep my focus. Because if I don't keep my focus, all of my pressing, all of my stressing, all of my straining, all of my struggling will be of non-effect if I run out of my lane. If I don't run according to the rules of the game. So one of the things that Paul keeps in mind is the mark. The mark. You see, my brothers and sisters, many of us would not be led astray like we are if we kept our eyes on the mark. You see, a whole lot of us would do better daily if we got up in the morning and we opened up our word and we prayed and we spent time with God and focused afresh our eye on the mark. Listen, you can't get to the prize till you get to the mark. You've got to recognize that the mark is there to do two things. One, to signal the finish line, and two, to give you a sense of bearing and a sense of how much or how further you've got to go by reaching that mark. And so whenever you keep the mark in focus, then you recognize that you're not as far sometime as the enemy want to make you think you are. There are so many people who have given up in this race and did not know how close they were to the finish line because they lost their focus. Listen, it's nobody else's responsibility to tell you keep your focus. It's your responsibility to look for the finish line, to look for the ribbon that's held over that line so that you will have a focal point to use all of your force to reach out beyond everything that you've got in you to get to that line. And so when you begin to recognize that focus is so important to the racer that he or she many times can make it just by keeping their focus and keeping up their stride and giving it everything they've got, regardless of how tired you may be. You need to realize many times this opportunity only comes once, and you need to give it everything you've got. Now listen at this, because this message is not going to be long this morning, but I want you to make sure you catch these points. One, you use the force of all of your strength, all of your energy, all of your ability, all of your preparation, everything that you've got to be the best runner you can be in the race. Secondly, when you are in this race, make sure that you've learned how to focus. How to focus on what matters the most. How to make sure that if you have done your preparation and put everything that would keep you from getting to your finish line out behind you so that it's not a distraction for you or a disturbance for you, you keep your eye focused on winning the prize, because the prize is worth every stress, strain, and struggle you've got to go through to gain it. Never let anything that's less than the prize take your focus. Notice here what he says. He says, I press toward the mark for the prize. Listen, for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Next thing he's talking about here is favor. You see what you don't realize, my brothers and sisters, that in this race, the favor of God that comes upon the believer who forces and focuses on the race need to know that God knows how, in the midst of you giving everything that you've got, sometime your strength begins to fade. But how many of you know favor knows how to give you a second wind? I can tell I ain't never had many runners in the house here. How many know, let me just put it this way. How many know when there were times you were ready to give up, God breathed upon you a fresh sense of power, of strength, and ability. And when you were getting ready to throw your hands down, you were able to raise them up to the glory of God because he renewed your strength. Am I talking to anybody in the house? The favor of God calls us up higher and to more and to greater when he sees us utilizing everything we have to win the prize. To win it. Not have it be given to you. But the fact that you have put everything in it, you have given up everything. You have taken off all of the weights. You have made it to this point because you have demonstrated great discipline. And now is the time to hold nothing back. But I got news for you, my brothers. Even with all of that, don't you think that the enemy is going to let you run the race without any issues? He's not going to sit idly by at the starting line and say, go, John, go. No, he's going to try, if he can't do an outward distraction, guess what he's going to try to do? An inward distraction. It may not be any physical distractions, but then he starts messing with my mind. He starts making me want to look back and see how close the next runner is behind me. I ain't got time to worry about who's behind me, because here's what I know. If they ain't in front of me, then they ain't even in my view. Somebody's not hearing me. Too many of you get distracted worrying about who's behind you, who's on the side of you. Keep your eyes on the mark. Keep your eyes on the finishing line. Because everything that you know, it has been proven scientifically that when you turn your head, a fraction of a moment is lost in your turning your head to see who's behind you. But the devil knows this. So he starts trying to bring stuff up in your mind. You're not going to be able to make it. Then if he can't mess with your mind because your mind is strong, he starts messing with your body. Ooh, Lord, I wish I had a helper in the house. Start trying to fatigue your muscles and try to cause you to think, I can't make it. I know I trained. I know I've given my best, but somehow I don't know if I can make it. Listen, my brothers and sisters, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. The favor of God is upon the believer's life who press and who stress and struggle, giving, doing the best they can to make it to the finish line without being distracted. There is such a thing called your personal best. Sometimes you may not win the race. Well, not this race. But isn't it good at the end to have the coach say, you didn't win the race, but according to the timing, you ran your personal best. I'm gonna hurry up and finish because y'all not with me this morning. Your personal best is more important than you recognize, because it is in your personal best that you show God, God, I've given, I've used, I've utilized everything that you've given me toward running and winning this race. Thou might have been someone faster and better than me in the race, but listen, the true race was with myself. I gave my best. And that's what God favors, our best. Our best. You may not ever physically win the race, but you can run your best race. And you can bring God glory in doing your best, having your best, being your best. and recognizing that God knew that everything within you was looking ahead for the prize, listen, of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. In other words, what you'll learn is that you're going to run multiple races in this life before you get to the final one. And every race you run, listen, ought to make you stronger and better for the next one to come. So don't give up and don't become discouraged. Don't get down and depressed because you didn't win this race. There is another one. And you take everything that you've learned in this race and apply it to the next race. Because if you get to compete in the next race, that's nothing but favor from God, showing you that he's still with you and strengthening you for what is to come. You become, listen, elevated, higher levels in God by his favor because of your personal best. One thing I want to say about this word, and that's why Paul is pressing, because in verse 13 he makes clear that he has learned to do in a process of putting everything that would hinder him behind him. There's a story told about this villager who had built this little house that he loved, and he gave everything he had to put in this house, and he loved this house with everything he had. His family grew, but it became too large and he had to sell the house. So he sold the house. There were several people interested in the house, but $2,000 was what he was trying to get. But the village was so poor, the only person that could give him half of that was a man who also loved the house that he had built. And he bought the house, but he bought it with stipulations. He inspected the house and he found that everything in the house was as represented. But he noticed one thing. He noticed that above the front door was a nail that was not completely nailed in. And the owner said to him, I'll sell you this house under one condition, that you don't nail this nail all the way in. The house belongs to you, but this nail belongs to me. It was a strange request. It was different and difficult to understand. Why did this man want this one nail above the front door to remain unfinished? He said, well, it's for me to know and for you to find out. And so several years had passed. The man's children had grown up and gone off. And he loved this house so much, he wanted to go back to this house. Back to this house that he built with everything in it that he said he would never leave. But his conditions dictated differently. And so he went back to this house and he offered the man $2,000. And though the man only bought it for $1,000, the man said, no, I don't want to sell the house. And the man said, listen, I'm offering you double what you paid for the house. It's my house. I built the house. I want the house back now. He said, it's nobody but you and your wife in it. You can move somewhere else. The man said, no, I like this house. And so the man said, all right, if you won't sell me the house,